The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Father, thank you. Let every ear be anointed to hear. Make my tongue even as the pen of a ready writer, that I might speak your word to your people today. Thank you for allowing us to live in this day and this hour, to be a part of this great end time harvest. Let every ear be anointed and every heart receptive to receive in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew 24. And I read verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and will hate one another, which we can see that in the church even now. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he who shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Now verse 14, very important, because this is where it puts us. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. The title of my message this morning is called End of Days. End of Days. Now, one of the craziest things, and I've been preaching on these lines for a long, long time, so anybody that's a member here at the River, you know I prepared you, and we've talked every scenario. How many have got the copy of the Killing Uncle Sam, Killing the Planet, you know? So I laid all this out. So nothing is a surprise to me of what I'm seeing. Many ministers are totally confused right now, but they wouldn't even read the book when I gave it to them. You know, some of them are calling me now, said, if you read the book, you'd be up to date on what's going on. So, but this past week, something happened that I would say is unprecedented in America. And it's actually happening around the world. Every god fell. Every god of America fell down. Think about it. Even the god of some of these big mega churches fell. They're not even there today. They're empty. I'm sorry for coming public with this, but I'm just going to say it just like it is. If a pastor does not have the testicles, and I know some people be upset because I said testicles. We're not in the ministry because of popular opinion. We're not here for fair weather. A shepherd does not run and go sit somewhere in his house. What kind of a shepherd sits in his house? So, the NFL fell. The NBA fell. The NHL fell. The NCAA fell. The MLB fell. The PGA fell. All of the alphabet sports fell. Hollywood, fallen. Movies, fallen. TV shows, canceled. Broadway, canceled. Done. Cooked. 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 These are the same ones that mock us and mock God. We're still here. We're still here. They mock the Holy Ghost. They mock the fire of the Holy Ghost. They mock the anointing. They mock the preaching of the Word of God. Now, nothing is by accident, and I'm not going to get too much into the document, but I will tell you, this week I've been on the phone, I've talked to people in probably 30 different nations and pastors and people around the world. But I'm holding in my hand here a document that was actually published. This is from a meeting by the Rockefeller Foundation, GBN, Global Business Network, 2010. That actually spells the scenario we are facing right now. To the T. To the T. This is not an accident. You can go on YouTube and you can Google what I'm saying. You'll see there are videos. Bill Gates was talking 4 years ago about a pandemic. They were talking about a global pandemic that would shut the planet down. This has all been it's all on the cards. So, again, I'm not saying corona is not real. There is a corona. Corona is like the flu virus. And they have weaponized it. Obviously, they weaponized it in Wuhan, and they've weaponized it in Italy because people there are being affected. But corona was actually in America last year. Because you can see the CDC was already hiring people to work in quarantine centers back in November 2019. I've got the documents, folks, for the top 19 cities. So when I called the different pastors, and let me tell you, it is critical. In Italy, they cannot even leave their house. They got a yard, you can go in your yard, but if you walk on the street, you get arrested. You have to cover yourself with basically a hazmat suit. You can go to the shop 2 days a week and maybe go to work. And even then, you have to keep a distance of a meter and sometimes 2 meters. And all of this was planned. Today, as I stand before you, I don't feel embarrassed as a pastor because for years I've been preaching, telling you America's not ready for what's coming. When I talk to the pastors, especially in Europe, was on lockdown, Italy, France is going there, but yet there are big riots in the streets right now. The French are saying, no. They're not obeying the curfews. England is the same way. A lot of the Brits are standing up. You know, that's why they were so upset about Brexit, because they wanted to control England at the same time they controlled Europe. Amsterdam's coming under major regulation, but Poland shut down with 20 people that contracted the virus. They shut the whole country down. Hungary, Bulgaria. I hear that Angela Merkel just closed the border of Germany today. But it's too late. So the plan was to use a pandemic to take over the globe. And it doesn't have to be real. It just has to be fear. Now, before I read what I'm about to read, I'm friends with a minister who is over hospices. And I was on the phone with him last night. He said, in our hospices in a certain city, which will remain nameless, we have 1,300 elderly senior people that are right now are dying in hospice. Not one of them has coronavirus. Not one. I've asked people, do you know anybody who has the coronavirus? Nobody knows. Do you know anybody? I've been on Twitter. I've watched people with 600,000 followers. Does anybody know anybody with the coronavirus? They don't know one person. I spoke to a pastor in Los Angeles. He has thousands of members in his church. I said, can I ask you, please be truthful with me. Do you know anybody in Los Angeles with the coronavirus? He said, I don't know one person with coronavirus. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just trying to tell you it's been weaponized to instill fear into people because what they want to do is change the way the world functions really forever. Because all these churches that are allowing themselves to come down to 250, guess what? When you try to meet again, you ain't going to be able to meet again. They're going to keep you at 250 because you gave up ground. You gave up ground. Whatever ground you give up because of fear, you will give it up permanently. You will give it up permanently because you'll say, save us from this hidden thing that we don't even know where it is. And the moment somebody just, I saw this coming when we were across Australasia, when we were in Singapore, and we were going into hotels coming in. They were measuring our temperature. Brother Ted, I mean, they measure your temperature coming in out. Your temperature's fine. I said, no, it's not. I have a fever. Then they measure it again. They said, it's fine. I said, no, I have a fever. You know, I was kidding, but they wanted to measure my temperature again. Who hasn't had a temperature at some time in your life? Hello. Tens of thousands of people this year have died from the flu. I don't want, I have to be the one that always exposes this stuff. It's like, where's people's heads? So this document, which you can go and find, this is an official document by the Rockefeller Foundation. You can Google it. It's called Scenarios for Future of Technology and International Development. If you want to read it, you go check it. 53 pages long. And the plan is what's called lockstep. Lockstep. Okay. So let me condense this for you into some bullet points. And you see if we're not seeing any of it. Okay? You ready for this? Fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the world of sleight of hand and deception at a scale beyond anything you've ever seen. Because the mainstream media are all a part of it. And they drive the fear narrative 24/7. Okay, well, before I read this, let me just say this. So, as I was talking to the pastors, they would say to me, is this the end of days? And here was the craziest thing. You know, I said, look, if it is, and then I got actually excited, and then I started weeping, I said, that means we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see him very soon. And I got so smashed at the thought that I was going to see Jesus that I was like, I was weeping. I mean, the whole afternoon Thursday, I just wept and wept. And then I said, but Lord, I'm not finished 300 cities. I'm only at 169. I don't want a plaque on the wall that says 170 cities. I want 300 cities. I've got to do the 300, you know. Can we just have a few more people to get saved, you know? But I must confess that I got drunker than anything thinking about the fact that I was going to get to see Jesus. And I was like over the moon. I was like, oh my God, we're going to get to see Jesus. And then, so, you know, when you're signing off with them and they all confined to their houses, you know, we're still walking around, you know, they confined to their houses. And then I looked at them and said, I want you to know I love you. And if I don't see you again, I will see you on the other side, you know. So it's like, you know, it was a very real conversation with pastors in foreign fields that are facing situations that you and I are not facing right now. So could this be the end of days? It's not even a question. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that everything is unfolding according to the book of Revelation. That they're hitting, taking us to one world government, one money system, and the rise of the Antichrist. This is it. This is it. This is it. I really believe that God put the president there to slow it down. Had other people been in office at this juncture, you don't even want to know what would be happening right now. That's why Congress is freaking out. Are you with me? Now, I'll give you the three scenarios, because everybody said, looks like we're cooked, we're done. Okay, there's three scenarios. I don't know. I'll tell you in a week or two if we are. Trust me, I'm not going to lie to you. If I get up here on a Sunday morning and say, guys, you need to brace yourself. Basically, that means take out all sharp objects out of your jacket, take off your shoes, your spectacles, and get in the brace position, trying to get your head between your knees, which they tell you on the plane, which I don't know how some of you would even do that. I've often thought, why do they tell you to put your head between your knees? And the only conclusion I can come up with is that they're trying to get your head as close to your behind so you can kiss it goodbye before you leave the planet. I mean, why would they tell you to put your head between your knees? You know. I mean, I could never understand. Why would you tell people, you know, put your head between your knees? What? How? For some, it would just be bowing the head. And that would be it. What do you think, the acrobats? So this document in bullet form is this. Within lockstep is a scenario as developed by the Rockefeller Foundation, which if you read the second book, Killing the Planet, you'll understand these things. As extremely virulent and deadly strain of influenza streaks through the world with the following results. 20% of the global population infected. 8 million people die within a matter of months. The mobility of people come to a screeching halt as airports are closed and global travel is banned. So it's all about population control. You can't move here, can't go on a holiday, you can't do anything because of this terrible, terrible hidden mystery thing. We're still trying to find who has it. According to them, the pandemic kills a disproportionate number of people in Africa, Southeast Asia, and Central America. You can download it. I'm not making this stuff up. People throughout the world are willing to relinquish their rights and liberties in exchange for safety and security. Yep. In other words, just take everything. Tell me what to do. Tell me what, as long as I have toilet paper, I'll be happy. A power elite through their investment in medical and scientific communities gain control of world affairs. So basically, because the climate change narrative for global governance failed because nobody believed the ice caps were melting, they're using the World Health Organization to then come in and take over the control of nations, and then they're going to bring in vaccines, which the vaccines have been there already. And then there's going to be forced vaccines, which they can kill off many people with vaccines. Because it's about population reduction, because there's too many people on the planet, but with the correct vaccines, we can shoot them and then they can die. Because you know people are the problem of the planet according to these scum. God put the planet here for people. He did not put the planet here for an owl or for a tree or for a whale or for a bird. Amen. Amen. Commerce comes to a screeching halt. Shops and stores are closed. Sporting events are canceled. It's all in the document. Theaters shut down. Churches darkened. So basically, they can change everything. The way you function as a society, you don't function anymore. Everybody lives in fear, and they just obey, and everybody's for the collective. I mean, even churches are advertising, look, because we're going to walk in love, so you would never put your brother in harm's way, but coming to church and sneezing on him, and then he gets the corona. Where were you the last 15 years when the H1N1 was going around killing more people than ever before? Nobody stopped the church at that time. People were sneezing on you left, right, and center. Could somebody catch a cold from somewhere? Yeah, I mean, that's how it is. But look at the airports right now. Thousands of people are sitting there trying to get through screening. It's like, we shouldn't be around anybody, but everybody's herded like cattle. Measures including biometric IDs for all citizens will be brought into place. And then if you get the vaccine, then you're authorized to travel. If you don't have the vaccine, and you want not that vaccine tattoo they're going to give you, then, sorry, sir, you can't travel this country. You're not qualified to, you don't have the vaccine to travel. Sorry. It's like a science fiction movie that's gone bad. Except you're not living in it here in Florida, but our friends in Italy are. Anyone deemed to be a risk to in public safety is quarantined. That's why I do not recommend people flying internationally right now, because the next couple of weeks are going to be horrendous, and I'll explain to you why. Political gatherings will be outlawed. Public protests will be forbidden, and martial law will be established. Yeah. This is all in the plans. I'm not saying they're going to get it right. I'm just telling you what's on the books. The pandemic disrupts the global supply chain to certain commodities, including disinfectants and toilet paper. It becomes scarce and increasingly valuable. People are giving Rolex watches for a six-pack of Charmin. Managers of the global government can impose rules and regulations as they deem fit. And of course, they blame it on climate change for the outbreak. So the use of fossil fuels prohibited, green energy in which the Rockefellers are heavily invested becomes the only acceptable means to generate heat and power. And even after the pandemic fades, the new system of global control remains in place. So that's what you don't understand. Whatever you give up because of fear, the likelihood of you ever getting it back again is going to be very remote. Hello. I'm just telling you right now. Now, we're working on this piece, myself and Dr. Paul, and I'll make this available to people, but it's called The Phantom Plague. The Phantom Plague. Is the phantom plague known as the coronavirus a means to further the globalist agenda of a small cadre of international bankers and businessmen? The idea seems absurd, save for the fact that the Rockefeller Foundation in 2010 published a report entitled Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. The report envisions the economic and political bereft or benefit that can be reaped from the spread of a global pandemic that will infect 20% of the world's population. The pandemic, as imagined by the Rockefeller futurists, will produce deadly effect on international and national economies, debilitating the airline and entertainment. We look at the planes now. The planes are not flying anywhere. Pilots are being put off, laid off. Are you with me? Not that flying Delta was much comfort anyway, because they made the seats smaller and you know, Lord have mercy. No wonder everybody gets sick just flying Delta. But it disrupts global supply chains. That's why we need to be producing here in America. That's why I told you, grow your own food. We've been telling you, grow your own food. So somebody said, Pastor, what should I do? Grow your own food. Amen. Do not be dependent upon other situations round about you. So within every major city, once bustling shops and stores are forced to close and streets are empty of all pedestrians. Now, I believe that mayors of cities can make a difference. They can say, we're not opting to the fear. We're going to create a community in here where we watch over one another. Are you with me?
Yes.
So maybe some of the rural communities or some of the smaller towns will be safe, but places that are like Detroit and Chicago and Los Angeles and San Francisco, where they now have banned people to 10 to 15 or 15 to 20 people in the service, but everybody takes a dump on the street. How is it possible that people are dumping on the street? I'm taking, defecating on the street, but you can't have more than 20 people in a meeting because you might catch coronavirus. Hello. That's how stupid these people are. So I'm just letting you know what's going on. So I'll make this all available to you. And of course, then they set up their philanthropic efforts to come in and save the world. Isn't it amazing how suddenly they found a vaccine? Huh? Oh, we have a vaccine. Really? Really? You found a vaccine? For which strand? Which strain of the virus did you find a vaccine? Who's making the money on all this stuff? Who owns the coronavirus patent? Find out. Search. Who owns the patent for the virus? Who owns the patent for the vaccines? It's all the same people. So, the first scenario I said, beginning of the end of days, as in Revelation, which I believe it is, and the second one is for the globalists to take over. The third one is what I'm leaning towards, which even though they planned all of this, God is going to flip it on their heads. God is going to flip it on their heads. That whatever they have planned will come to nothing. And that's what we're going to be praying about tonight. That God wreaks havoc in the camp of the wicked. And you might ask, does the president know all of this? Listen, I believe he knows more than most people. You can't be president of the United States and not know certain things. I think he's surrounded by some clowns that feed him misinformation or disinformation, but we pray for him every day that God protect him. Are you with me? And but if you watch him, he's very calm. He's actually very relaxed. It's actually like he knows something that nobody else knows. That's all I'm saying. And the media, I think all the toilet rolls are for them. In actual fact, I thought of buying some and sending them to CNN and NBC and ABC. Now, the president just declared a national emergency. And I'll just lay a couple of possibilities of what could happen in the next 2 weeks. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it could happen. Where we might be confined to state travel, not interstate travel. I'm just saying that. I'm just throwing that out. Somebody said, how can you say that? It's just, I don't want to give too much away. I'm just telling you. And I know the Lord told me just focus on Florida. So that's what I'm doing. We'll be here. I'll be in the city every night. I'll be at the river. And it looks like it'll be all the way through ministers' conference in May. Not planning to go overseas. Not planning to go anywhere. We're just staying focused on what we're doing at this juncture. It does not change anything for us. Because our job is to win souls. Are you with me? This is our finest hour. And because people have no other gods to worship, they've got no other gods to worship. They can't go to the ball game. They can't go anywhere. They can't even go to the movies.
Wow.
But they can come to the river. They can come to the river. We get them saved. We get them baptized in water. We get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. Put the fire of God on them. And let me say this. I don't control anybody. If any of you want to go, you snowbird, yeah, you want to head north, anytime. And if you kids here at Bible school, you want to go home to daddy and mommy, head on home. I'm not here. Listen, please. People, I don't control anybody. That's not my job. I have called people, said, you better get home now. If you don't, you can be quarantined. Whoever leaves the country, if you try to get back in, you'll be quarantined for 2 weeks. So don't hide somewhere in a house. Are you with me? Have friends. Talk to your friends. Spend time actually talking now. It's nothing to watch on television. Amen?
Amen.
And work. Work. Do your work. Let God give you creative ways that you can be of service and that you can earn an income and be a blessing to people. Amen. Now, in 2 Sundays from now, I'll tell you if we should assume the brace position or not. I would encourage everybody to get water and get some food that'll last you at least maybe till the end of April. And you know, canned food works well.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you must understand, I'm not just making rash statements. We feed 900 families a week, so I'm having to get supplies here for the church.
Yeah.
I'm going to be taking care of river members. I can't take care of everybody else's member, but I'll take care of river members. So we want you to know, all the River people, the church is here for you. We're here for you. You can call us day and night, leave a message. Are you with me? And we're making provision right now as a church. We're also doing whatever we can to sanitize and, you know, all the other stuff without being totally paranoid. Now, I thought about coming out this morning in a full hazmat suit, just for fun. But the fake news media would have picked it up and it would be all over the news, pastor preachers in hazmat suit. You know, people say, wash your hands. You should have been washing your hands anyway. What's the problem with you? Were you never taught to wash your hands? Can you imagine we've got to tell people in the 21st century to wash their hands? So in the next 2 weeks, and you can watch if you watch me on Periscope, I'll tell it, folks. I'll come on. I'll update you on what's happening. If I hear anything, I'm telling you everything now. I'm not hiding anything from you. Somebody said, well, the third scenario. I don't want to say anything about the third scenario because I don't want to give away what's going on. If the third scenario happens, then it's going to be great. That's all I'm going to say about that. But let me tell you, we have prayed much about this because I know many people are dependent upon us. You know, I can't, I'm not just, you know, will you just take off and go? Well, I can't go anywhere. I'm here. We're here. A pastor doesn't just go anywhere. I'm not going to preach to a camera and just put it on a screen. You go to a hospital right now, you expect to see a doctor. Isn't that right? You get there, put the TV on. It's your doctor. Hi, doc. How you doing? So I don't know how crazy it's going to get here in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. But don't get crazy. Stay strong in the Word and in the Lord, knowing that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And I'll just say that it's easier for the international people because they come from upheavals. For us who come from Africa and others that come from Central and South America, it's easy for them. For the American people, you guys have had it so easy. You really have. You really have. So it's harder for the American people to even make a transition or even make the change. But I feel that I've done enough here over the 4 years at the church, 23, well, how long now, 20, whatever. I think I've done enough by putting the word in you and the ones that are here that you have a word foundation. Yes, and you listen to the Lord. So, I mean, I said to myself, remember 2 Sundays ago, I was going to talk about it, and I said, I asked the Lord, what do you think about it? And the Lord said He wasn't really worried about it. Remember, I told you. I said, Lord, what do you think about coronavirus? The Lord said, He wasn't really worried about it. Remember that. Remember that. 3 people remember that. Great. Some of you don't have to worry about the virus. You just have to worry about your memory. I said, how many remember I said to you? But try to respond. You can raise your hand. Okay. And then I prayed and I had a peace in my heart. Even this whole week, we kept praying. And I said to Pastor Eric, what do you have? He said, I have a peace. We all have a peace in our heart. But if you listen to the mainstream media, it's like the end of the world. The sky has fallen on somebody's head. We're all gonna die. We're gonna die! Is it because people in the church don't know where they're going, that they're so afraid to die? Is it because people don't know that there is a heaven? And so they don't really know. They want to extend their life on the earth, but they don't know that the day is going to come when they're going to end. Your life is going to end no matter what you do. Even if you eat right, you exercise, you get a six pack. It becomes a nine pack. And then it ends up becoming a barrel. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you work out, have a facelift. You lift your face so many times you have to drop your chest. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. The day will come when you'll die. When you were born into the world, you came in, you look like you needed ironing. You came in, you look like creased and whatever. You had no hair, you had no teeth. When you leave the earth, you'll look like you need ironing. You'll have no hair, you'll have no teeth. It doesn't matter. The only thing you can take with you is people. People are going to hell with rolls of toilet paper under their arms right now. Come on, church. Come on, you the church of Jesus Christ. You the church. You the blood-bought church. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. He said, occupy till I come. Amen. Can you imagine people say, we're not going to lay hands on people anymore? What? We're not going to lay hands on people anymore? We're not going to do communion anymore? If you can't receive communion because you're afraid of getting infected, you don't even understand what the table of the Lord is about. Why do you think that I close every Sunday morning for many years now with communion? Why? Because I saw this day coming. Because I said to the Lord years ago, how do I protect the people from what's in the water, what's in the food, and what's in the air? And he said, every Sunday morning, close the service with communion, and that will protect my people. So, somebody said, but Pastor, they will think that we're crazy. They already do. But I promise you, I'm so happy to be alive in 2020 rather than the year 1423. Jesus. Are you with me? Yes. I'm so happy God put me alive in this day and this hour. I was made for the 21st century, and the 21st century was made for me. I'm so happy to be living in this time. What an hour to be alive. You and I have grandstand. Well, not seats, I mean, because we're actually participants, but we're right in the field of the greatest move of God ever known. Amen. And so, you know, we understand Jesus is coming very soon. I could stand you all day and talk to you about, you know, the Antichrist and how you want to be able to buy and sell and the tribulation, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we've done seminars on that before and whatever, but you know, a lot of times people don't even feel empowered with that. They just say, oh crap, everything's coming to an end, you know. We're gonna die. Oh, Ethel, we're gonna die. So, you know, here's the thing. I mean, it's the fire of God. It's the fire of God that burns out the fear. It's the fire of God that empowers you, that enables you to do the work of Jesus, to lay hands on the sick.
Amen.
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 Can you see Jesus walking out and the disciples come with masks? Lord, what is this? They said there was a virus going around. Lord, we were advised by the Romans to wear masks. I mean, the Pentecostal church I went to, they didn't even have separate, little cups. They had a cup and you passed it around and people drank from the cup. Because you believed in the blood. You believed in the blood. They just wiped the outside of the cup and handed the next person. Remember, I don't think anybody died in all the years. No one died. I know for many churches today, they're not even meeting online, or they call this a National Day of Prayer. If anything, churches should have met today for the National Day of Prayer. Amen. If anything. So when you're sitting with 7.5 billion people on the planet and 180,000 infected, 5,000 dead, then you ask yourself the question, is this really what they're saying, or are they using what they're saying as fear to manipulate so they can get their way and do whatever they want to do? I'm just asking you. And if I don't know of anybody infected, and you don't know of anybody infected, it's pretty amazing how people in government are getting infected and Hollywood stars are getting infected. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Sports people getting infected, huh? Are they really infected or are they making statements? Just asking for a friend. How many in this room today, you prayed, you've asked the Lord, and you have a peace in your heart? Wave your hand. So you go by your heart.
Yeah.
You go by what God's telling you. Peace is the umpire. Peace is the umpire. And you can use this time to spend and draw closer together as a family. Husband and wife, children, grandkids. Use this time to draw closer together, not watching television. All that's come to an end. It's just reruns and nonsense. And let's be ready to help people. In all of our HOJs, let's be ready to help people in our neighborhoods. Amen. With food and help and water and everything that's needed. Come on, this is the time. This is the time to shine. And I believe that God's going to give you a great harvest.
Amen.
And people will be touched. How many have seen that people out there are afraid? God's going to help you to calm down. So there'll be no fear. No fear. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
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 I will tell you this in closing. I actually got concerned because I got so happy about going home. I was a mess. I just started, because I don't spend too much time about, you know, thinking about going to see Jesus, because I've got a job of work to do here. So I don't want to, that's like if you're going to go on vacation and you spend all your days talking about the vacation, so then you never live your life here, you know. I have a job of work to do, and that's to bring in the harvest of souls. But for the moment, I just started thinking about, I started imagining just seeing Jesus. And I got messed up pretty badly. And then that concerned me because I was ready to go, you know what I mean. But then I started saying, Lord, just give us a few more moments, you know. We've got to bring some more souls into the kingdom. How many have unsaved loved ones? That's why we need the time, just so we can bring them in. Come on, we've got to bring them in. We've got to bring them into the kingdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, your family are not going to go to hell. Your family are not going to go to hell. Every one of them are going to come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So right now, I rebuke any fear that might have gripped your heart. And all fear of dying goes from you. You shall not die, but you shall live and show forth the glory of God. Amen. And you shall be made a blessing unto many. Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Let me say one other thing. The seniors here, all the seniors that have lived through wars and stuff, help the young people, because young people, the millennials, they don't know what's going on. You know, so all the seniors, those that have been through stuff in life, and the older ones, help the younger ones. Talk to them. Talk some sense into their heads. And younger ones, listen to the elders. Listen to the seniors. They've been through things. You know what was so funny? I thought about it. I saw a clip on my Twitter of an old English lady who was rebuking people because they were taking all the toilet paper. She said, during the war, we used newspapers, you know, to wipe up our hands. We used newspapers. And I thought about all the papers of the cities that we could use. New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today. Just phenomenal. Just make sure you don't get a paper cut, but amen. How many needed to hear this word here today? How many know that the Lord is with you today? How many know that God is on your side today? How many know that you're going to conquer this week by the power of God? Can you say amen? Everybody say souls. Everybody say the harvest. Amen. I want everybody to bow your heads, if you would, please. And those watching by way of television, I want to give you an invitation today. Maybe you come into this place, you're watching in the different countries of the world. You've never given your life to Jesus, never said, Lord, be my Savior. Fact is that today could be your last day on the earth, and there wasn't even a virus. You could get hit by a bus. You could get hit by lightning. If you live in Florida, it could be a sinkhole. You could just disappear. So many ways to die. Many ways to leave the earth. And the Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, after that the judgment. If you had to face death today, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath their flood, lose all their guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you leave another way. Today, he calls you. Will you surrender your life to him today? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior? He loves you. He loves you. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were on fire for God, but something happened. You lost your first love. You lost that peace, that joy. But today you say, I'm coming back. I want to be on fire. I want to be radical. It's going to take radical people to make it in the hour. Not lukewarm, wishy-washy people. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust. The hidden things that clog the heart of man. If you let that go today, he will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you let him do that today? Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's outward that everyone could see. And so the enemy uses it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. But I want you to know the devil's a liar and God is a God of a second chance, a new beginning. Will you surrender your life afresh to him? He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Would you do that? Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe you were going along, you were doing great, and a storm came out of the blue. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And then lastly, maybe you're in this place, you love the Lord, or you're watching, and you're not sure of your salvation. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today, you want to know. You want to make sure. You want to know that you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. If this is you, right where you are, quickly, without any hesitation whatsoever, put your hand up. Say, pray for me right now. Right at the back, two hands over there. Another hand over this side. Another hand over there. God bless you. Another hand over there. Another hand over here. Another hand right at the back. Quickly raise up high and say, yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Today is your day of freedom. Another hand at the far side. Anybody else? Another hand over there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Put your hand up and say, yes, that's me. That's me. I want you to look at me right now, please. Look at me in this section here. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray right now. Quickly slip your hand up and say, include me. Include me, include me, include me. Thank you, thank you. What about this section? You didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Anybody else? Put your hand up right now, say, include me. Raise up high. Thank you. Anybody else? Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you. I want every person to raise your hand to stand to your feet right now. All those that raise your hand to stand, come. Stand, 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 stand. Ushers, if you'd help them, just come from where you are. We're going to pray. Come. Come right down to the front. We're going to pray together. Come. Come. To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. Cross before me, the world behind me. turning back. Now, we are going to have communion, so if you came, you don't want to leave till we have communion. I mean, that's very important, unless you have to go eat chicken somewhere. Now, let me just say this. I mean, this is amazing to have this kind of a harvest on the Sunday when the world's been looking at television. All they think about, we can't go anywhere.
Come on, yeah.
And so this is a great harvest today.
Amen.
Trust me. Trust me, this is a great harvest today. And I want to just say this to all the HOJs. This is your hour now. This is your time to be the light across the city, in the 110 homes across the city. This is your time now. And you know, it's amazing how the Lord begins to speak to me. Stop doing the in-reach outreach. Stop. You know, God led us all the way along these lines for this moment. Now, I know we're going to be concentrating very heavily on Florida, the 67 counties. And we've already hit six cities. I'm believing God to hit 36 cities across Florida here. Yeah, so. The biggest thing is to find the pastor that wants, you know, revival and wants souls. That's the biggest problem that we have, you know. Especially if the church gets any size, then they think we already have it. And they don't. Most of the people are not winning souls. So you can have a large crowd of people, but they're not winning souls. Every church must become an engine room to win souls. Amen. I want you to stretch your hand out towards these precious people. If you look at me, and those of you that are watching by way of television, we're going to pray right now. As I pray with them, you pray along with us and invite Jesus into your heart. If you're watching across Pakistan or India or Sweden right now, anywhere the signal goes, on the Lifestyle Channel right here across Florida, wherever it goes as well, pray this prayer together. If you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this with me. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world.
I turn my back on sin.
And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this night on,
I'll never be
the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh.
He is
my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord. For saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day, let not one of these precious people be missing. Use them, raise them to be mighty men and women of God, and use them, Lord. Everywhere they go in this city, may people see your hand. Thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon each and every one of them. Thank you, Lord. Depression goes, fear goes, bondage goes, addiction goes, and use them. And on that day, they will hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We thank you for that now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.